I was thinking about a scripture, particularly, I think, appropriate on this Mother's Day. I'm thinking about the love written in red and Jesus on the cross. John's Gospel tells us, near the cross of Jesus was his mother. What a powerful scripture. And thinking about his disciples really forsaking him, those closest to him, denying him. Near the cross of Jesus was his mother. Thanks be to God on this Mother's Day for our moms. And I think it appropriate today, whether you're a mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, there may be even some great-great-grandmothers here today, but I just want to put a spotlight on you for just a moment. If you would please stand, if you're a mom today, and let's express our appreciation to you. Thank you so very much. I pray it is a day that will be blessed and filled with good memories. As I know, many of us, our mothers, have gone on to glory. We honor their memory today, as well as we honor those mothers who are living today. So let us stand now for the reading of God's Holy Word. So this is John 8:12, as we continue in the I Am statements of Jesus. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So light and darkness have been a part of the Bible stories from the very beginning. What is the first thing God did that God created? Yes, light, right? Genesis 1 teaches us the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Then God spoke, "Let there be
light."
You all are on it today. "Let there be light." And there was light. I find it interesting that of all the things God could have created first, he created light first. Even before he created us, God wants us to live in light. It is just not the physical light that we're talking about. Also, as we expand the sermon today, the spiritual light as well. Without light, life is not happening, particularly the quality of light. So what does light represent? From a biblical perspective, as you look from Genesis to Revelation, first thing we would say is light symbolizes the righteousness and holiness of God. We see that right from the dawn of creation and God creating light. But other scriptures in the Old Testament, as we look at them just very briefly, let's look at two or three of them. Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Isaiah 60, "The Lord will be your everlasting light." The focus there is on everlasting. All the earthly lights, even those that God created, will expire. They're going to die out. Even the most brilliant light, the sun, the moon. But God is the everlasting light who will never fade. Micah 7:8, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be light to me." It parallels Psalm 139, "Even the darkness is light to you." Even the darkness will not be dark to you. And in John 1:5, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Again, this is not just talking about physical darkness, but God being light means that there is no darkness, there's nothing shadowy, there's not a hint of evil or sinfulness or darkness in God. God is absolute truth, absolute love, absolute light. So God can be fully trusted. and that he is totally consistent in all of his attributes and never changes in his holy character. John even goes so far to say God is love, meaning God is holy love. So light symbolizes the righteousness and holiness of God. Second thing we would say is that light symbolizes the revealed truth of God's salvation. I don't know if you've seen these letters on the billboard. There's one coming out from Mobile, I know, and on Facebook posts. It's IYKYK. The first time I ever saw that was from a clergy friend of mine who posted it on Facebook, and I thought he was speaking another language. I had no idea what it meant. They've already put up what it means. When you don't know something, we often use the phrase, I was in the dark. I was in the dark. It means I didn't know, I had no knowledge of that event or that experience. And the irony in this is, of course, the letters IYKYK mean, if you know, you know. Well, the problem was I didn't know. It means you have to have the right information to complete a task or to operate a piece of machinery or whatever it might be. But even more importantly, we're talking about spiritual things, spiritual realities, and eternal realities here. God's word, his light of revelation, his plan of salvation for the world is revealed, is being revealed through his word, and most especially through the living word, who is Christ. The prophecy surrounding the birth of Jesus symbolized this light and darkness. And when Jesus was presented in the temple, the old man Simeon shared these words. Here's what he says. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. Notice what he says next. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Well, Simeon is telling us that Jesus is going to be the light of God's revelation to the whole world, to the Gentile world, the world that had not received the good news. Or as Isaiah puts it, the people sitting in darkness, the people who are uninformed, the people who do not know, are now going to have this truth revealed to them. He is coming to make the world know the light of the gospel truth, the salvation of the world. If you go back to John chapter 1, you see the familiar words almost parallel to Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, sounds a lot like Genesis, right? And then it goes on to say, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, that's a hard word to translate there. Some translations say the darkness did not comprehend it, the darkness did not understand it, the darkness did not grasp it. But the greater meaning of all of that is that the light has come and it will overcome the darkness. Light will absorb and dissipate the darkness. I was reading recently about light being everywhere. It's light that cannot always be seen because it is often crowded out by the darkness. But light is there. If you go down into a mine or a cavern, my father was a coal miner, part of his life there underneath the ground working. And if you turn the light off, it seems like you are surrounded by total darkness. But guess what? Quantum physics has found that you are in fact surrounded by light even though you can't see it. For true darkness does not exist. Light particles, photons, exist throughout the known universe and beyond it. Even in the cavern, even in the mine, even in the darkest places we may go. But again, this is not just talking about the physical universe. This is talking about light symbolizing the holy love of God penetrating into the darkness of our world, into the sinfulness of our world, and even into the sinfulness of our own personal lives. It is the light of healing in our brokenness. It is the light of wisdom in our ignorance. It is the light of salvation and deliverance in our captivity to sin. It is the light of life opening up, if you will, even those who die. It is literally bringing resurrection life to our world. I love Wesley's great hymn, "And Can It Be?" Many of us familiar with that so powerfully. These words, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. But wait for it. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon filled with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." A powerful message of light overcoming darkness. And really, that's the story of every one of us here today. We were captives, imprisoned by our own sinful desires. Christ's light broke into our dark dungeon, set us free. Hallelujah. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I can see. Why? Because the light of God's revelation through Christ has penetrated into my darkness. As you look through the Gospels, the miraculous actions of Jesus portray light breaking into darkness. You look at the message and mission of Jesus, what happened? Blind eyes are open. Crippled people are walking. Captives are being set free. The dead are being raised to new life. Good news. Light is coming into the darkness of our world. And the darkness cannot overcome it. And finally, we know how the story ends. Gloriously, Revelation ends with the consummation of time, with a new heaven and a new earth. And guess what? God is the light of that heavenly city. No sun is needed. There is no night there. Revelation 22. So as we think about this, Jesus being the light of the world, we recognize who Jesus is. He reveals the righteousness of God, and he reveals the truth of God's salvation into our dark world. But this verse goes a little bit further. It speaks to our position as Christians, as Christ followers, and how we live as Christ followers. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Then he immediately said, "Those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I wonder how clearly and consistently this light of Christ is being reflected in our lives. If I were to ask you today, what is the darkest time you've experienced in your life? How would you answer that? Some of you have been in combat zone and have known times of war. Others have been through experiences of divorce, perhaps the untimely death of a close loved one. Maybe you face financial bankruptcy or failure. Still others may have lost your jobs and had to start all over again. Maybe some of you have even struggled with mental illness or anxiety disorders that have taken you to dark places in your life. I recall one of the most difficult years I have faced was at age 18. My parents divorced when I was a freshman in high school. I stayed with my father, who was physically disabled. He passed away right after graduation from high school. We lost our home. I lost direction in life. Wandered for months, praying through a lot of uncertainty. And I felt like the guy who had fallen off the side of the cliff that was holding on to a little tree, holding on for dear life. It's kind of a humorous story, perhaps a familiar one. He was calling out for help. "Is there anybody there? Is there anybody up there?" And finally a voice came. "This is God. Let go of your little tree that you're hanging on to, and I'll be there to catch you." And the man yelled back, "Are you sure, Lord? Are you sure?" And he looked down that cliff at how deep it was and how far it was. And God said again, "Let go. It will be all right. I will be there to catch you." The man hesitated and yelled back again, "Is there anybody else up there?" Often, we find ourselves in deeper struggles because we do not respond to God's leading, to God's direction, to God's light, if you will. But often we try to save ourselves and wind up in even greater darkness. If I were to ask you again today, are you following Christ? I hope all of us would say yes. But some of you may say, yes, I am today, but I'm not sure about Tuesday. I'm not sure about Friday. God might be telling us to do something, and we might be saying, is there anybody else up there? One commentator put it like this: following Jesus is the condition of two promises. First, he says, his followers will never, it's that word, will never walk in darkness. And as a reference to the assurance of our salvation that we enjoy, we will never follow the ways of evil and live in a state of continually sinning against God. Rather, we repent of our sins in order to stay close to God and be directed by his light. The second promise is that we will reflect Christ's light. Just as the moon has no light of its own, reflecting the light of the sun, so as believers, we reflect the light of Christ so that all may see him in us. There's two primary ways that we do this. One is our conversation, and the other is our character. First is our conversation. These words from Ephesians 4:29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up." And Philippians 2:14, "Do everything," are y'all ready for this? "Do everything without complaining or arguing, without fault in a crooked and perverse generation." Notice what it says, "in which you shine like stars in the universe." And as Philippians is giving the imagery of our being stars in the night sky. In other words, our life would shine out like the Big Dipper for anyone to see. Christ's light in us. I like what Will Rogers said about this. "Live in such a way that you would not be afraid to sell your pet parrot to the town gossip." Proverbs reminds us that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. And Jesus said in Matthew, "By your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned." We greatly reflect God's light in how we converse and speak to one another, especially those closest to us. But let me say, I think there's a real pervasive darkness in our world. And very often in our conversations, very often in the words that we speak that are so prevalent in our culture, I think they've added a great deal to our social ills and problems. The language and vocabulary are often dark and negative and unnecessary in too many cases. Hear this word again. Jesus says, "Those who follow me will not walk in darkness." We are not to expand the darkness, but rather to bring God's light, especially in our conversation. And I want to say this, especially on Mother's Day. I honor my mother. She died in 2019 at the age of 92. I honor my mother today, who spoke words of life and life to me, even in times of discipline and correction. She let wholesome words come out of her mouth. And when any unwholesome words came out of my mouth, she would not hesitate to correct it. It was quickly addressed. Again, I believe many of our problems today would be greatly helped by offering words that encourage and bring life, not words that defame and demean. Let our words be light. Let our words be life. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. This is how God speaks to us. We bring light in our conversations. The other is that we reflect Christ's light in our character. Our character is how we choose to live, and the moral content of our lives that are consistently displayed in every circumstance of life. While we are not God, if we have Christ in us, we are called to live consistently as holy people. Character matters, and it matters especially to those within our sphere of influence. Integrity happens when our words and actions match each other. I like what one person says, it's doing the right thing when nobody else is watching. It seeks to bring out the best in others, always, even when correction is needed or discipline is needed. And again, honoring our mothers today, I quoted in the newsletter from 1 Timothy, Paul, when he writes Timothy, comments on his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, how they modeled faith for Timothy. They instilled values in his life from an early age. I like what John Maxwell said about this. If you are successful, it becomes possible for you to leave an inheritance for others. But if you desire to create a legacy, then you need to leave something in others. And when you think unselfishly and invest in others, you gain the opportunity to create a legacy that will outlive you. Now, I think I could go around the room today, and nearly all of us would say, your mother may not have left you an inheritance, but she left something in you much more important. She left something in you that was of faith and values and character and a greater sense of what is right and wrong, ethical behavior. But this was all given through love. And I think that's the greatest light we can reflect, especially to the next generation. In his book on Hidden in Plain Sight, Pastor Mark Buchanan illustrates this story beautifully. One of his worship leaders was having a tough week, and she came in to help lead worship that Sunday and was weary and struggling. However, she had an 8-year-old daughter, Brianna, who helped give a new perspective to her earlier that morning. When she walked into the living room, the window was covered with all kinds of writing scrawl, if you will. Using a crayon, little 8-year-old Brianna had scribbled something across the window, picture window, from top to bottom and from side to side. And when she first looked at it, she thought, oh no, another mess I have to clean up. But then she saw what she had written across that window. Love, joy, peace, patience, and notice the spelling, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in her 8-year-old writing. And her mother stopped to drink it in. And her heart was moved. Her heart was changed. It's exactly the message she needed to hear. And she noticed that she had written one other note on that window in her own creative spelling. Love one another. Where did she get that? Well, the light of God's word in Revelation, but it was personally given by her mother. It's what Jesus has been trying to tell us all along. You and I were one. We're here. Because of the light of God's love for everyone else. And he simply says, follow me. And you will not walk in darkness, but in the light of Christ. That's how Jesus changed the world, and how he's still changing the world. And that's how you and I will reflect his light today. So let me go back to the beginning, share these words again. Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen.